This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I kill myself at a Starbucks. I blow my brains out right there. If these two little slimy Jews told me that's how I can show that I care. I've got a bit of a query. This girl, she's a dime, she's a ten. There's just one little problem. I think that she wants me dead. I keep finding all these papers labeled plan of attack. This girl's been nothing but coy to me. Is she gonna stab me in the back? Do you have any suggestions? Should I hit it and quit? No matter what you say, I'm probably gonna go for it. If I were I were, if only I were you.
Dang.
Thank you, Dashboard Confessional.
Dang.
That was lovely.
I'm stunned, man.
You're crying.
Yeah, I am. But I was crying before the song started.
Unrelated.
I'm going through some shit right now.
That was Jeremy Lindenfeld, who's 18.
Wow.
18. Prodigy. And would love a shout out to his band, Seaden, S-E-A-D-E-N. They're on YouTube. They're on SoundCloud.
D-E-N? Like Seaden? Like it's in the...
Like a den in the sea.
A den in the sea.
Not like a sedan.
Yeah.
No.
That's different. Completely
like
unrelated.
Ursula's
that's
living
That's a
room.
Den in the
yes.
sea.
Yes. Ursula's living
when
room.
When my Uncle Dan goes swimming, that's a sedan.
Yeah. He only goes swimming in the
sea. He drives a coupe.
A two-door sport. Billy and Adam in the house.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having us.
They're back and better than ever. When was the last time you guys were on the show?
When was that, Bill?
Maybe like we just started the podcast. We just started No Joke, so maybe like a little less than a year ago.
Less than a year.
The episode was called Olive Oil. I don't remember.
Yeah, we talked about masturbating with olive oil. It was someone who
that was Billy. This is your third time on our show, Adam's second.
Three dogs.
Because the first time you were on the show, we went to McDonald's and we got a filet of fish.
That's right. My stomach just
started to feel normal today.
Yeah.
That was a great day. I remember having a great day with you guys.
It's funny because we're recording now. You just brought donuts.
Right.
So it's like some sort
always
of
a food
theme
based.
In our lives
yes.
where we eat foods that are bad for us.
I saw there was that half piece of cheese on a donut downstairs.
Yeah, that
like
was the fish donut. I had
that
them.
Was just the fish donut.
The frog. Yeah.
They just squished white fish.
It's like a Boston cream donut except with fucking
I got you the Boston cream and I got Amir the white fish.
The a whitefish donut.
It's Amir's birthday. They were like,
it seems anti-Semitic that you got me that. A little bit.
Of course.
Why did you give me the whitefish?
Whitefish donut. If we say whitefish donut one more time, it's going to be appetizing.
It's disgusting. Already
but if we keep talking about it, I want it.
Whitefish donut.
That's Adam's fantasy basketball team. Whitefish donut.
Whitefish donut, yeah. I was a big gefilte fish addict when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Though. Huge gefilte fish addict.
Dude,
addict.
Yeah.
Like you needed it.
I needed it.
Yes, Jake.
I needed it.
He like legitimately needed
it. Yes, my parents were, everyone in my life was repulsed and disgusted by my penchant for gefilte fish.
And then
fish.
Even more so by your withdrawal.
Yeah, exactly. Or withdrawal symptoms.
Where they, yeah, they detoxed you for a month. You
Mom,
were throwing
take
up bile.
Take me to the Hannafords. Yeah, it was really bad. And at my bar mitzvah, I actually had the caterers, the two lovely Israeli caterers, make me, the bar mitzvah boy, my own individual plate of just gefilte fish that I ate alone in silence.
Yeah, this is the fish for the public, and this is Sir Adam's fish.
This is the new man's fish.
Nobody gets my fish, Papa. You're like Veruca Kosher Salt, just like a very, a well-to-do Jewish gentleman boy.
Exactly.
Adam taught me his fish.
Adam taught me one thing about gefilte fish, which is that it's the only fish in the supermarket that doesn't need to be refrigerated.
Red flag.
Oh,
big red flag. Oh, it's in the cereal aisle? But that's fish. But that's fish, though. It's next to the peanut butter.
From the sea to aisle 7.
Seriously. Exactly.
You can just eat it right out of the bag that they bag it in at the grocery
bring it to outer space. Nothing affects
funny.
Gefilte.
So gross. Fruit Loops, gefilte fish. And then over there in the refrigerated section is the real fish.
Gefilte fish does have a cereal mascot, right?
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
It's Gilly the fish.
Gilly the nervous fish.
Oh, jeez.
He swims. Swims in jeans. It's the only fish that wears jeans in the lake.
Solid app so far.
Great. Yeah.
We are out of time, but thank you guys so much for coming.
Once again, check out the No Joke podcast.
Super fun. Get your whitefish donuts wherever you can get them.
That's funny. This is our podcast. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by Jake and I. Sometimes we're by ourselves. Sometimes we're our friends. Now we're with friends and fellow HeadGum podcasters, Billy and Adam.
Hey, what's going on?
You guys have your own show on our network.
We do. It's called No Joke.
That's right.
New episodes come out every Friday, which is the day in between Thursday and Saturday.
Oh, that's a good sandwich to Jake and I's show. It's like we got the Monday show
right.
Billy and Adam on Friday.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
We're the bread, I would say, and the rest of the podcast would be, I would say, the whitefish
the meat.
In this.
Yeah. The whitefish in the donut.
In the donut.
So unlike your podcast here, we're basically trying to advise people out of their sticky situations.
Great.
People will email us. They're confused. They're scared. They want to know what 31 to 35 year old white people think about their situation.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Who does not? Who does not want
Who's
that?
Who's 35 in this room?
Me.
You're 35?
Yep.
Good man.
Thank you.
Look at him.
Exactly.
Look at Corky's trim.
Yeah,
true.
I
can't wait to be 35.
Yeah, a second. Yeah, dude.
35 looks good on you, Bill.
You could be president. That's the year.
Okay. You should be president.
That is the year.
You know what? Maybe I will be
president. Dun, 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 dun.
Are we okay with that, by the way? 35 is the floor, right? You have to be at least 35?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what if there's like a 27-year-old genius who is like clearly the best president?
I'm fine with the floor. I actually think there should be a ceiling.
Yes.
I don't think you should be able – I said this to you guys before. I don't think you should be able to vote after 65.
65.
I think 65, you can't be president anymore either. You're on the way out,
I
brother.
I think you need to take a
driver's
test.
Make way for the future.
Same thing. When you turn like 50, 60, 70, every 10 years you have to pass a driving test again.
Yep.
You should not be grandfathered into
and then when
us
you're,
assuming you're safe.
When you're 80 taking your driving test, they actually just drive the car off a cliff.
And that's the end of your life.
Hey, you're good, buddy.
He passed. Thump.
The new Rams head coach, Los Angeles Rams head
30.
Coach. 30.
That's silly, man.
30.
That's crazy.
He'd be the youngest one in this room.
How would you do that? Yeah. How could you then
like,
coach
like, there's definitely
men?
People on the team that are older than
For
them,
sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say most of the team is over 30.
Yeah.
I don't know. With football, I guess it's a young
– He's a millennial. He rides his bike
I guess
the
front line is all over 30 and then the
– Yes, exactly.
Everybody.
Oh the fast people are in the teams. Yeah.
As they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find the best question to start with. Here's a good one.
Cool.
This will set us on our way.
Great.
Adam, why don't we get a fake guy's name?
How about Tad? T- Tad William Smith.
That's pretty good.
Good. Nice.
So his last name is Will Smith?
William Smith.
Is there a hyphen?
There's a hyphen there.
Oh, William
Smith. William and Smith.
His maiden name is William.
That's right.
And he married
He took his wife's name, Smith.
Oh, William Smith. Yes. Got it. Okay.
Tad William Smith.
Very progressive.
Super progressive.
So here's the deal. I'm currently doing a year-long service program in a new city, and the program set me up with two worst roommates I've ever had in my life.
Oh, shoot.
It's not that they have any annoying habits or that they don't clean or anything. It's not even that they're not good people. They're both also involved in a year of service and genuinely seem like they want to make the world a better place.
Assholes.
The problem is that I just hate being around them. For whatever reason, our personalities don't mesh. They constantly annoy the shit out of me for just being who they are.
Awesome.
So I guess I just need some advice on how to survive 7 more months of this shit. Have you ever had shit roommates? Side note, I don't think this plays a big part, but just for context, I'm a man and they're both women.
Oh, jeez. Tough little addendum there.
Every neighborhood has crazy neighbors, and if yours doesn't, you're the crazy neighbor.
Exactly. Yeah.
And my dude, you're the weird one.
Yeah.
They don't like you.
You're the weird one. Turn the mirror around, my man.
Perhaps.
Well, have you guys ever had shit roommates is the first question.
I personally have been fortunate enough to always be able to essentially choose my roommates.
Same.
Even in college?
Oh, no. In college, I did have a shitty roommate. I should take that back. My first freshman year of college, my freshman year roommate was a bit of an asshole. He was a weird guy from Philadelphia. He was just persnickety and didn't like me having friends over, even though college is a time for friends.
This is what you told him?
It's kind of a big part of it.
But college is a time for friends.
Yeah, this is time for friends, no? So he was sort of a prick. He was a prick. But other than that, my roommate, I've kind of had 1,000 with roommates for the most part.
This dude hasn't said one thing about his roommates that I can give any advice on how to solve it. They sound like the most
personalities don't clash or don't click.
Yeah.
It just sounds like Tad is a misanthrope. And I appreciate you just don't like people, Tad. Yeah. I don't think you might not like other human beings.
Yeah, is that what that means?
Yeah, you just try a little harder. Just try to relate to them on something.
There you go.
He might love them.
Yeah.
The problem is he might love them and he has to he's pretending like he's not.
Okay. Has anybody ever done a 180 like that in your life where you hated him and then you're like, wait a minute, I should just view him in a different lens and now I think I like this person? I've never taken someone out of the hate pile into the love.
It seems like
it only goes the other way.
One way. That's a one-way
street. I like this person, and now I no longer like him. And that's on to the next. And now I no longer like that person.
You go back. Yep. People go from one pile to the other daily.
Yeah. So fickle, Jake. Yeah. Oh my God.
I hated you at the top. Yeah,
it's full of passion. And sometimes you shine the light on the world with someone you love, and then sometimes you spin the spotlight and you want to burn them to death.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
Can you name someone that you used to hate that you're now really close with?
Marty.
Oh, interesting. What about you guys?
Marty as well.
Marty. Only Marty.
First time I met Marty, I was like, this dude's just going to be up my ass. This is trouble. Why did Jake and Amir bring him on to HeadGum? They were doing fine with
him. He's a dangerous boy.
Yeah.
That's not true. Marty's winning.
My girlfriend Maggie often gets upset at me because I do try to employ that tactic of just pretend you like them. Just pretend.
Right.
And then ultimately your habit will form. If you lie to yourself enough, just pretend that you like them. Just make believe until it's real.
This is you telling her to do that, or is this
I do that myself, and she's like, I think you're a false man. I think that means you're a false man.
If that's genuinely the way you feel,
it's just like, if I don't like something, why exist in that sort of you sound perturbed, Tad. You sound annoyed. Here's a way out of it. Just dumb yourself down enough that you can trick yourself to like it a little.
That really is true. If you have one conversation with them where you laugh and smile and pretend you care
Fake
about
it.
what they like.
Build on that.
Fake it.
Then you just build
then, like,
on that.
Then you really do. You walk away. Even if you don't remember the substance of the conversation, you walk away and you're like, I was smiling.
Right.
I think I was happy then.
Exactly.
My body's in joy mode.
Yeah. Because 2 years later, you're definitely not going to remember any substance of the conversation you had with anyone. All you're going to remember is the vague sensation of joy that you had, whether it was true or fabricated.
Well said.
Or vague sensation of hate.
That's all.
And you didn't like that person.
That's right.
And I don't know why.
It's simple. It's as simple as smile when you're talking to them.
Seriously.
You will delude yourself into thinking you are having fun.
Oh, so it's it's a reverse brain thing. It's when I when I'm happy, I smile. So if I'm smile, will that then force happy?
This is a real, it's a proven fact.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. If you just smile, You trick yourself into being happy.
Hume, we're just dumb mammals. We can trick ourselves. We just have silly little brains. We can do it. We can fool ourselves.
I'm smiling right now, and I'm kind of happy.
Yeah.
And I hate myself.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a good technique.
I would say just fake the shit out of it until it becomes real or they move out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My girlfriend Marina does voiceover work, and usually if the copy asks for optimism or like a hopeful voice,
yeah.
The trick is to smile while you're reading all of the copy, because it just becomes, your voice literally changes, everything in your body changes.
Oh,
but if you walk in on somebody doing that voiceover with a crazy clown smile and talking about like Downey's air fresheners, it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, you're insane.
So
yes,
but smile.
Yes.
So smile is the advice here.
Yes. Just
walk smile.
In,
how about into that. Smile?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's not bad. 7 months of smiles.
Just pretend. Just pretend.
Sounds that's, like 7 months of smiles will drive a man crazy too.
Yeah, you don't want to smile
seven
too much.
7 months of smiles,
starring Liam Neeson.
Because it could be that happiness is finite. The serotonin in your brain will eventually run out,
and you only have so much, and you wasted it being fake nice.
Yeah,
but GNC sells serotonin. So you can literally go.
Are you selling us MDMA right now?
Exactly. People who take ecstasy a lot, they flood their brains with serotonin, and then the next day they are very depressed because they used up all of their serotonin.
Yeah.
But the smart ecstasy users will go to GNC and literally buy the things that pump serotonin back into your brain.
HTTP5.
Is that what it is?
You're thinking it's not a website.
I think that's a domain name.
It's something like that. HP5, HTTP5.
That's like the serotonin thing?
Yeah.
It works pretty slow. You really want to kill yourself the morning you take it.
Yeah. Well, you should really take ecstasy with this
that's
serotonin.
That's the other advice to that. Just take ecstasy.
Oh, yeah. Just always take ecstasy.
Beyond ecstasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
That way you won't be able to not smile.
Exactly.
You're going to love it anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Here's a lady from Australia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Billy, do you have a name for an Australian lady?
Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Patricia Williams-Smith.
Any relation?
No relation.
No relation.
Sorry, no relation.
Amazing.
No Weird.
We just used the same phone book and went
not
down.
Even vaguely, not even vaguely related.
Nope.
Straight to the point. I'll be 23 this year and I'm still a virgin. Part of me wants to not care and follow the feminist belief that virginity is just a concept made up by men to make them feel that their dick is important enough to change a girl's life.
Okay.
The other part of me just wants some dick.
Okay.
But I've realized that due to my anxiety disorder, intimacy will always freak me out to the point where I haven't even kissed someone in over 2 years.
Wow.
Do you ever find intimacy nerve-wracking? If so, any tips? If not, is there any shame in being well on my way to a real-life 40-year-old virgin? Ta-da! All the love, Patricia Williams-Smith.
Hmm. Okay.
Intimacy. Does it ever make me nervous? Only, of course. I mean, I think you'd have to be a robot if intimacy didn't make you nervous.
In some way.
In some small way.
Well, I imagine if you're single, intimacy starts to become a little more a la carte, which then I would probably feel that way.
Yeah.
But once you start falling into a relationship, intimacy almost starts becoming more of like a fun kind of like game that you can play with someone where you know it's a very safe place.
Yes.
Right.
And it's less embarrassing. Yeah. Yes. I feel like once you can get to that point.
Yes. For the sex positive perspective, sorry, Amir.
No, continue.
I mean to cut you off. The sex positive feminist in me says, A, live your whole life a virgin. No one cares. There's no stigma against that. No one cares if you have sex or not. It's all in your own head. Truly, no one cares.
That's a good point. Well said, Adam.
If you want sex, have all the sex. If you want dick, as you so poetically put it,
right?
Go get that dick. Yeah. Go get it.
This is the first time I ever heard that men made up the concept of virginity.
Same.
Because
their dick can change lives?
Yes.
Like
their dick is so important, it can change a woman's life.
Of all the gender constructs.
I don't understand.
Yes.
It's like saying like, oh, when did you lose your virginity? Because I can make you do that with my dick. I can give you that fucking bar mitzvah.
Right. I guess that sort of makes sense. Like you can only lose your virginity if
somebody
you're fucked
fucks
by a
you.
Dick.
Right.
Right.
But I got the secret key. It's my dick and I can take that virginity.
Well, guys can be virgins too and they can't be unvirgins unless a girl with the secret key being a vagina fucks them.
Well,
or another boy's butt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, is that's the
you
and,
still
and
need
then we're
the,
getting into the
you still need the receiver.
Yeah, now we're getting into like what is sex? Is it penis and vagina, or is it butt into
or is it butt and vagina? But no one talks about the rare butt. The butt goes into the vagina.
The A to B,
the A to A.
the rib. What did you guys do last night? I stuck my butt in her vagina.
Do you imagine the cheeks or the little pink eye?
Oh, everything, the whole cheek. Squeeze it.
Oh, beep, my God. Beep, beep.
Falling into a toilet bowl.
That is such a wide, wide vagina to allow the entire buttocks to enter.
That's why it's both so rare. Cheeks. That's why it's so rare.
Squat.
I grew up in Long Island where Goons Central, and it's the type of place where you would think that dudes would be like, my dick can change lives.
Yeah.
I grew up with the dudes who would be cast to say that line. No one in my friend group would ever be caught dead saying that, and no one in my friend group believed that their dick could change lives. I mean, like, that's like, to Jake's point, I've never heard that sentiment outside of like maybe like a big dumb movie jock.
Right. I think my dick could mildly improve a life for a short amount of time.
Sure.
If somebody consented to it.
Yes.
And it was a nice time for everyone.
And then their life would probably recede back to normal.
Yeah. Of course.
Right.
Exactly. Mild improvement. And a vagina or a butt could do that.
Like maybe if, you know that story about when like a car flips over and lands on a baby and someone comes in and like lifts the car up.
Mom's strength.
Like if someone's dick lifted that car up off
that
baby.
That's a life-changing dick.
That dick literally changed a person's life.
By the way,
that's
only ever hear about the ones that are able to lift the car. There's plenty of babies that are just crushed under the car.
Yeah.
Squish baby syndrome.
Didn't have enough adrenaline, did you, mommy?
Did you, mommy?
I got the car an inch off the ground, which is more than I could do normally.
Imagine feeling like a failure that you didn't lift a car off of your child.
I could absolutely see myself in this scenario. For some reason, it's on a bridge in my mind.
Yeah,
it's always on a bridge, and the car flips, and it's on the baby, but the baby's still alive. And I would literally think to myself, okay, Billy, this is literally what you've been training for your whole life. You're the guy that saves this baby.
What if
getting there
the car
and not
the
moving
baby,
the car?
Though? What if you flip the car off the baby and it landed on a bunch of other babies?
Four babies.
Shit!
And a dog.
That was my one rep max. I really can't.
But you have to reflip it?
Yeah.
Reflip it.
Yeah. Or roll it off the bridge.
Onto an orphanage.
Is it the opposite where you're strong enough to lift a car, but the adrenaline actually saps you of energy? You become weaker with adrenaline.
Oh,
that would be a really disappointing.
You
gotta
be calm, cool,
out.
And collected.
Yeah. You know, one time I did rip open a car door after a car accident.
How?
In Los Angeles. It was actually by Catalyst.
Really?
Yeah, where we all worked.
Yes.
On Highland and
Santa Monica-ish.
Yeah. Remember how there was always where those roads met, there was just a lot of left-hand turns.
Accident City.
Where it was just people getting smashed
constantly
into one another.
Yeah,
and I walked out of Catalyst once, and a person had literally just been smashed, and their door was like in and out, and you could tell they were in a state of panic. And I was 5 steps away, and I just grabbed it and just yanked the door open, and they climbed out. And
that's
it was
cool.
Amazing. It was a total hero moment.
You were like Jaws of Life.
Yes. A little bit. I mean, the door was already open, but I did give it that extra couple of inches that got him out.
Yes.
So
that's exciting.
That story really goes nowhere, but I'd like to think I could lift the car off the baby.
I think you probably could. Your friend Steve lifted a smart car and just moved it with his hands.
So
just with his bare hands.
My friends are goons.
Yeah.
It was a Fiat.
Is that the guy that tore an apple in half?
Yeah.
He just moved a car with his hands.
That was his bar prank. We'd get drunk at bars, and then we'd go out into the parking lot and find the smallest car, and then he would just pick it up and drag it into another parking spot.
Amazing.
What are you talking about, dragging it? Like, by what?
By the two wheels that aren't in brake or in park. There was a Fiat. The famous one is the Fiat. He would pick it up from the back.
So lift up the bumper from the back.
Yeah, because the engine's in the front, so it's a little heavier.
Okay.
And then he would just grab it, and then we would push the front, and he would grab it, and we would like move it to like the other side of the parking lot.
Just moving cars with your hands.
This is Long Island.
Superhuman
strength
exists.
The other point man for Long Island is Gabrus, and he's 500 pounds, and he like eats everything and moves
Fiat.
Everything.
Yeah.
He is a Fiat.
He's a Fiat 500. Have you seen Gabrus's tattoo?
I have. Long
Strong.
Island.
Would you ever get that?
I would not.
It's a map of the island?
That's right.
That's cool. It is definitely cool. I
Dope.
Would not.
Yeah. Just because you're anti-tattoo?
I'm not anti-tattoo.
Anti-Gabrus.
I love Long Island, but it's also the type of place that you're there for 2 days and you're like, you got to go. You got to get out of here fast.
So you don't want to constantly see it on your bi.
Yeah.
That's your bi.
Yeah,
you want to say bye to the bi.
Maybe I might try. Yeah.
Her question about the dick.
Any tips about if you find intimacy nerve-wracking? It seems to me that it's a trust thing. The more comfortable you get with someone, you shouldn't rush it.
Right.
Go on as many dates as possible until you feel completely comfortable allowing this person to be intimate with you.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe that'll lead to less anxiety.
Yeah, especially. Nice. And don't be afraid to tell that person that you're anxious
exactly.
about intimacy
because
then they will hopefully, if they're a good person, be a lot more sensitive to your anxiety.
Yes. Honesty is
And always... I imagine she might... Sorry.
No.
I imagine she might attract someone who might have similar feelings as well.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I she doesn't seem like a one night stand type of person. I would say that you should try and find a friend who you might be able to turn that into more.
Mm-hmm. That'd totally. Be nice. Mm-hmm. Good. Best of luck, Patricia.
Best of luck, Patricia.
Let's take a break.
Sweet.
Let's take a quick little break, and then we'll be back with more questions and answers with Billy and Adam.
Great.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag-and-drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness,
more of a fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% Ooh. Off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you as well to Blue Apron for sponsoring this episode. You know, I don't care how much you try, you need to eat.
I have tried to starve myself for weeks on end. I always end up needing food.
Unfortunately, not all ingredients are created equal. So when it comes to fresh, high-quality ingredients, that's what makes the real difference. Blue Apron basically will send you these ingredients in the mail and tell you how to cook them into really nice, proper meals. We're talking affordable. It's less than $10 per meal, and they'll deliver it to you free of charge.
Whoa.
There's great variety, new recipes every week. You can even choose. It's flexible, so you get to choose which ones you want to make based on your dietary preferences. And it's easy. We've gotten Blue Apron. We've made Blue Apron.
I made recently a stromboli.
And?
It was impeccable.
Could you believe you made it based on the stuff that they gave you?
I mean, a chef.
You were a chef.
And I'm
going to
open up my own stromboli place.
It's called It's Jake Stromboli. And Blue Apron has a guarantee, freshest guarantee that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook. So how does it work? You go to blueapron.com/ifiwereyou, check out the menu, and get your first three meals for free.
Yeah, I really could open my own stromboli place as long as somebody provided me with dough.
Yeah. You mean money or actual dough?
Both.
So blueapron.com/ifiwereyou. You get three meals for free with free shipping. And check it out. Try it out. Become a better chef. They'll teach you how to do it. And then you can use that skill forever and ever and ever.com. blueapron.com/ifiwereyou. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. We be back. We be back. We be back. Back. That lady's from Australia, which reminds me to say that Jake and I are doing live shows in Australia.
Oh my God. When are you guys going to Australia?
In Melbourne on March 16th and Sydney on March 18th.
Sick.
Tickets are still available. Have you guys ever been to Australia?
I have not.
Never.
Highly recommend. Oh, that'd be fun.
You guys were just in New Zealand?
Just in New Zealand.
Cool.
And then we were in Australia a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about that goddamn swing you went on?
Oh, maybe so. That was a
swing.
They went on the world.
Feeling of the swing.
They went on the world.
We talked about if we remembered how it felt.
I asked you that once. Yeah. I think it was off a podcast. I'm like, does that? I remember seeing the video of the swing, but do you remember like actually hovering over the gorge and letting go and like feeling the drop of the
the swing.
Yeah, I can picture it.
Yeah.
I remember being so happy that it was over.
Yeah, it's just
this
such
idea,
relief.
The swing was like looming over us the entire trip.
Yeah.
And like every happy moment we had, it's like, but there's a swing coming.
Yes,
just
right.
So that there's a swing.
Yeah. We just did an episode on No Joke all about courage.
Oh.
And we said that we were talking about how it's directly proportionate to dread, the dread that leads up to it.
Oh.
It's like the more dread that kind of leads up to it, the moment where it happens, you're that courageous.
Interesting.
Yeah. And when I saw you guys, I think you like texted me or something, Amir, from like moments before or something. Yeah. Like, we're about to do this.
This
and
is the
I
swing.
I yes. was dreading your guys' experience. I was like, rethink it, like just reconsider it. You don't need to be doing this.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely like. I didn't dread the swing as much because I was like, I had just like resigned that it was going to happen. I was like, I wasn't like excited. I was upset by it.
Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck?
Was that a choice though? Because New Zealand, the company that was sponsoring you, didn't make you do that, right? Like, didn't
it was like a half choice. They're like, we want you to do adventurous things. We can get you on
us
the
to
swing.
Do a fucking bungee jump.
Yeah,
no.
And we were and like that. That I was just like. Absolutely not.
Yes, of course. Duh, Jake.
No. But it's really the same amount of like fear
risk.
And like risk.
Yeah. The difference being that the swing, you got into the harness as you're above the platform.
Yes.
Like
the platform that was what, 5,000 feet high?
Yeah, well the platform's really high, but you're looking down and all you see is the floor.
Jesus.
Right.
And then you like go out, then like the floor disappears, and then you see it, and
you're
like,
hanging.
Oh, fuck, but you're already in the thing.
You're in it.
You're in the diaper.
And you don't have control over when it gets let go. There's like a fucking medieval torturer guy.
The executioner.
He's kind of fucking with you,
He's like, you got, as soon as we're, I think we talked about this on the podcast before, but I want to tell you.
Please do, will you?
We got out there, we're sitting like over 500 feet below us, whatever, and the dude says to Amir, so you like pranking people, huh?
Oh, God.
That's him! That's not me!
That's him!
Bring me back! Bring me back! Don't fuck with me!
No, please!
Well, you talk about courage. We basically chose the least courageous way to do the swing.
Okay.
Because there are like eight options because people in New Zealand are fucking insane that they don't get off to the world's largest swings anymore. That doesn't register on their heartbeat whatsoever.
Right.
So you can go upside down. You can go blindfolded. What? Me and Jake could be like flip-flop 69ing each other as we drop into the gorge.
But people went upside down. That was
upside down.
Yeah, dangling upside down.
What do you have to gain?
Well, like,
what
the swing's
do you
not
have
scary
to gain?
Enough. Defying death just traditionally right side up isn't enough.
No.
Yeah.
They want to do the upside down blindfolded swing.
I always felt that way about bungee jumps. I don't need to prove to anybody how bouncy I am.
I
get nothing from it. You get nothing from it. No.
Well, that being said, the joy of finishing it and doing it and like having it done, that felt so good that I'm like, what if I did the bungee? Like higher risk, higher reward.
Yes.
And that's why it was the worst of every world, the swing, because you came back from the swing and you were like, oh, that wasn't bad. I'm a pussy because I didn't do the bungee.
It was like lose-lose.
And then we like, on the way back, there was like we were on a bus with a bunch of people and these two beautiful blonde girls talked to me. They're like, oh, I think I saw you up there. I took a picture and then they showed me and it was a guy bungee jumping.
They're like,
and I was like, that, that just I was like, oh, no, I don't think that was me.
Was
definitively like, well, didn't you did the bungee just before us? And I was like, I did the swing.
Swing doesn't sound so cool anymore.
No, baby's first swingy.
We did the thing that toddlers do
at the park. When babies are finally not scared.
There's a bouncy castle in the driveway, and that's sort of what I did.
A guy in a scary costume pushed me out.
Yeah.
Oh, you went upside down or blindfolded or...
No, just normal swingy.
Okay.
Normal swingy.
Like, I get it. Yeah, the bungee jump was more expensive. Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. Everything
all
was
expenses paid.
More of a fear-based decision myself.
I'm just not... What is it? Courageous, as you say?
Is the bungee from the same spot where you would have swung? Can you just drop down
They're across the Jesus ravine from each other.
On different cables. So, like, you see the bungeers fucking...
And they're fucking badass. Yes. Their thing is, like, suspend... Even the bungee platform is suspended by cables in the middle of the ravine.
God damn it.
And the swing, you sort of walk across a bridge to it.
You are the pussy.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't done any of this.
None of
it. We're terrified.
None of it.
So you guys win.
If you want to like just feel the rush, like 0.05 of 1% of the rush that you would feel, do a Google search for Nevis bungee
Okay. If you guys or if anybody listening at home, because they record everything, cool. And it's from the top down, and it's just so terrifying to even like consider that you would possibly yes. be like yeah. like standing on the precipice, and then the hardest part is probably launching yourself. I bet a lot of people get there and they're like,
"It just
I don't want to jump."
Of yeah. course. Yeah. Is bungee scarier than skydiving?
Yes, because I've skydived.
Yeah, we both skydived.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you think that is? Because skydiving is obviously 5,000 feet up, at
really
least 10,000 feet up?
It has so much to do with like, when you're bungee jumping, everybody is standing away from you. You have to jump.
You have to choose. You are choosing to do it. Yes.
And the skydiving, we got strapped to a professional who would who goes like 50 times a day.
Okay.
And then it doesn't matter if you're like, "Oh, I don't want to do it."
It's still
like,
happening.
He wants to do it now.
The decision is
you're
made.
Strapped to his stomach and he's like holding you out the plane. You don't even jump in the skydiving.
Got it. That's a huge difference.
Or she jumps.
Here's the 5 seconds of somebody about to jump. Okay. And she's scared. She's wiggling. She can't look
that
down.
Little God boogie almighty, board size.
A little horrifying.
Just going
How
down.
How old is she?
Jesus, God.
No.
And you have to like Superman it down.
And now you're dropping for a good 4 or 5 seconds.
And you have to trust this. This will say, you're basically killing, as far as your brain sees, you're killing yourself.
Killing yourself. Yeah.
Because you don't know that
your brain
thing behind you will yank you back.
I'm surprised more people don't have heart attacks on the way down.
Oh, I bet that's a possibility.
What do you remember any of the thoughts you were having in flight, like in free fall? Do you have thoughts?
I think it's just screaming.
Screaming
and wind.
It was, holy shit.
It was so cold. Yeah. And, like, the wind is rushing. And yeah. We're yelling. I mean, I was having fun once we were free falling.
Yeah.
And then as we're like swinging, I'm like, "It's over. We did it. That's great." And then I'm also full of fear as we're going back up think that the guy is going to fuck with us and release us
because of
again.
The prank thing.
Exactly, yeah. The prank thing.
Oh my God, a second drop?
Lawsuit. Yeah,
that's a lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope.
That's a lawsuit.
Yeah. Sorry.
Lawsuit.
Leave it.
Actually, I think we can sue just for the fear, the prank
the fear.
Comment.
Yeah.
I think we can
definitely invoice them for promoting them for so long.
just invoice them.
Do you guys have anything crazy planned for this trip to Australia? Anything adventure-y and nuts?
We have the two shows are going to be the highlights, and then cool. We have to figure out what to do before and after.
Great.
Yeah. The last time we were in Australia, we went to 5 different cities.
Cool.
Which was really great.
Wow.
But this time we're doing just 2 cities.
Great.
Which is, I think it'd be a little bit easier on us because last time we were like partying, staying up late,
it
wake
was the
up,
sampler.
Travel, fly.
Yeah. Sampler.
Like a little bit of this.
The beer flight.
A little bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I think it's going to be really fun to like spend a couple days in Melbourne,
spend a couple days
in Sydney. Yeah. That'd be great.
Deep immersion.
Full immersion.
All right. Let's answer a few more questions.
Great.
I just feel like I know we have to get back to the show, but there's... I can't believe we haven't. Billy mentioned it briefly. It's your birthday today.
Amir, it's your freaking
it's your birthday.
That's true.
Dude.
It is my birthday. While we're recording, not when you're listening.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Just know that currently, while I'm talking, it's my birthday.
The day of your birth.
Yeah. Hence the Whitefish Donut.
Have you guys done a birthday episode of your podcast?
Big time.
We have.
That's
on,
a good
on
that's
Adam's
a
birthday.
Yeah,
big time.
That's a nice one.
Yes.
How do you feel about your birthday today?
34? I feel all right. It feels pretty much indistinguishable from 33.
Good.
Because it's just vaguely before 39.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Do you think you'll have an exciting birthday again before 40?
Oh, I don't think so. What do you do to celebrate like the big 3-7?
No. 35 go to sleep
is a nice
early.
Prime 35
number.
Is a, like a pretty
35 is pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't know. Bill, you're 35. Is 35
build
bigger
a log
34?
Cabin.
Yeah.
35. You go outside on your birthday and you build yourself a cabin.
You're finally a man.
Yeah, you don't use nails. You just punch the wood into the other wood. It's much like the button to the vagina sex tech. You're just crushing stuff.
Exactly.
Your birthday was recently, right?
It was December. It is now January. So,
a sweet VR machine was rented. That was rad.
We got Oculus.
Cool. That was cool.
Do you still have it?
Rented Oculus.
Doesn't Patton Oswalt have that great bit about how it's like no birthdays are worth celebrating after 21 and you should only celebrate the decades 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,
that's
80,
pretty
90.
Good.
It's
right after you pass your driver's test in 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, then you can celebrate.
Exactly. After you pass your prerequisite driver's test.
Yeah, especially the small shades of difference between. Do you ever forget? I think earlier today you forgot.
I think maybe 40 minutes ago.
I asked you how old you are and you're like 30.
And you were like, "Are you 34? And I was like, "No, but I won't swear to that."
I won't be certain.
Yeah.
That's really true. I think I'm 31. I'm not 32.
Right?
I think I'm 31. Yeah.
But I'm not 32.
Yeah.
Wait until we're like 54.
Exactly.
We're going to be like 47? I might be 61.
But you'll just know how old your kids are.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, we're all 4 different ages.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We run the whole gamut of 31 to 35 white men.
We are Marty the full
diverse. Yeah.
Marty's 32 to complete the straight.
Perfect.
All right. Let's answer. Here's a presidential related question because we're going to have a new president by the time this comes out.
God damn it.
Whether you like it or not.
Don't like it.
Okay. All right. Let's get a female name from Jake.
Tilma.
All right, let's do Adam.
Okay.
Did someone say Tatilma? I was going to say.
Yeah, no, Jake did. Tatilia William Smith?
Yeah, Tatilia William Smith.
Tatilia William Smith.
Is related or unrelated to Tad or Patricia?
She is Tad's sister.
Yes.
No relation
to Patricia.
To Patricia.
Yes. But she met Patricia at summer camp.
Also unrelated. Yeah.
What a weird day that was.
Weird.
Two William Smythes? For what? All right. Here's my issue. I'm a proud Latina that was a Clinton supporter. However, my best friend wasn't. We didn't talk about politics throughout the past year since I knew this. It upsets me quite a bit that she still supported who she did after all the incredibly racist, sexist, and just blatantly rude comments he made about so many people. I think she's talking about Trump.
I think so, too.
Danny Trump?
But even then, we didn't bring it up. I voted for Clinton in a state that goes blue. She casted her vote in a swing state that went red.
Yikes.
My problem is that we are going to vacation in NYC in February. This will be the first time I'll be seeing her since August, and obviously the first time I see her with our new president in power. I love her very much, but I feel like I haven't been completely honest with her in our friendship since I haven't been able to talk to her about this. After all, she is my person, and we tell each other everything.
Yeah.
As proud Latina woman, I just want to know why.
Yeah.
But the last thing I want to do is ruin the trip. I need your help. Please let me know what you both think I should do.
Dang.
On a lighter note, if you have any recommendations about what to eat or drink in NYC, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Pizza! Yeah,
pizza!
Soda!
Soda! Soda! Pizza! Pizza!
Pizza! Pizza! Soda!
Forget that first complicated question. Eat pizza!
Where's all your favorite Zaza joints? And Billy, what's your favorite soft drink?
Check out Penn Station. Great pizza in Penn Station.
Sbarro.
There's a Sbarro on 49th and anything.
49th Street is a Sbarro.
A long Sbarro with little roads in the middle of it. That'd be little amazing roads. If like we bought the entire street. The certainly Sbarro a company district? Could do that.
Yeah.
49th.
49th is Sbarro. Sbarro and 6th.
Yes. We're on Sbarro and 6th.
Do you have anybody close to you that voted for Trump that you're like, I don't want to even talk about this?
I mean, like, this is obviously on everyone's mind right now. This is like such a complicated emotional thing. I have some hometown friends that are Trump voters, but like no one's super in my super duper inner circle.
Right.
But to Layla. Was it Tallulah?
Tallulah?
I don't know. My inclination right now in this moment, because I have wildly swirling emotions surrounding this ordeal, but I think that radical honesty is, I know that it's your person and it's your best friend and you may have differing opinions. And I think that because it's your best friend and because you respect your friend so much, you should be radically honest. And I don't think you should be afraid to say, I'm a little concerned that you voted this way and these are my thoughts and why do you think the way you think? In fact, I think avoiding the topic at this point with our nation at stake is, I don't see what you stand to gain from not talking about it. I think if you're truly intimates and friends, be honest. Put your own thoughts and feelings on the table. That is what I would say.
To me, the real problem is like, I could be honest with somebody, but to me, for me being really honest, I would be like, you voted for Trump and I honestly find that inexcusable.
Yeah.
And I think I hate you now.
Yeah.
There's no, I feel like if you want to get like a more a loving answer, you gotta listen to a different voice than mine. Like, fuck anybody that did that.
There's nobody in your family that voted for Trump?
No. And if, I mean,
I feel like there's gotta be at least a cousin or an aunt or uncle
somewhere. I guess there's like a distant second cousin or something that did, but I would tell that person to go fuck themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody at a family reunion for Trump should go fuck themselves.
I have maybe a slightly different perspective. I have family and a lot of friends from Long Island who like voted for Trump. And there's like, I knew that I could take the one option, which was to just be like super pissed and tell them why they're wrong. But then I would hear myself say those words after the fact and be like, I would never listen to anybody who just told me I'm wrong blindly and like walked away from it.
Right.
So my position with everybody who I loved before the election and I will still probably love after the election despite who they voted for because they're more complicated than just this one vote is how can I speak to them? Because they already respect me. We have a friendship or we're a family member, so they already respect me and what I believe that's already been established. Mm-hmm. How can I talk to them from just like my perspective on the matter and not project onto them why they're wrong, but rather like, maybe you don't know about conversion therapy. Like, maybe you don't know about that. Like, that's something that like really like gets me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like when the like future vice president, and I'll say that to a few people and they'll be like, what? Conversion therapy? Like Mike Pence? What?
Right.
And so I can't assume that every Trump voter or person who disagrees with me is a bad person or should be cut out of my life.
That's right.
But what I take on the personal responsibility now of trying to slow things down and create more dialogue and less debate. Because debate is how we became these two, everyone just argued online to the point where it's like, I know who you're voting for, you know who I'm voting for, and we're both going to yell in a vacuum until the election's over.
Right.
And so I'm just trying to build little bridges that hopefully when in 2 years local elections start happening and in 4 years bigger elections start happening, those bridges have already been built just enough so that like if I do put out like a slightly more political stance somewhere, people will already know where I'm coming
from. Yeah, I get Jake. I get your like if you did that like it's like a decredibility fire. I totally get that. I feel that way too to a certain degree. One thing my girlfriend Maggie has done in an effort to sort of like be a little more diplomatic and kind of the icebreaker that she will use to sort of gently ease into the conversation is like, what news? How do you get your news? Like, where do you get your information? Like, what news sources do you read? Like, what newspapers or what? Where do you get your information?
Right.
Because it is I feel like that is like so much at the core of what is so fucked about all this is that like that's we smart. Can't even really agree on fact,
right.
Like empirical scientific fact.
Well, it's like limited knowledge where the thing that I'm putting in and getting out, they're not even getting the inputs from that. They're getting inputs from somewhere else.
That's right. So to me, that would be what I would be most curious about and I think would be a non-too-feather-ruffly way to sort of like ease into a conversation about values and about information and knowledge that is that you can sort of back off of the contempt that you have for people who you disagree with, which I completely understand.
Yeah, everybody should definitely listen to you two. I cannot get over my resentment for somebody. I just find it unforgivable. Here, and maybe I'll work towards it. But
well, that's what
it makes
I think
me
it is,
so
Jake.
Upset.
I think that it's like you have to address, and I talked to my sister at length about this, where it's like until we are not like we, the four of us and the people who are like, and this girl who's dealing with this problem, until we have like taken off the raw edge of it all, like we're all still very emotionally raw right now. And we're all very like coming out of a traumatic experience. And you have to ask yourself, am I in a position to be part of this conversation with my best friend? Am I going to be in a healthy enough mind space that I'm not going to actually screw up what I already believe because I'm so emotional? And so it's like, if you can find, Lin-Manuel Miranda says that you need to like eat your vegetables, but also like have your dessert too. And so there's like, you kind of need to like find what made you happy before the election and like live in that a little bit just that you can normalize yourself so that when you are ready to have bigger conversations that might go one of two ways, you can at least be sure that you are level-headed in this.
That's why I feel like if she's asking me what to do, this specific, bringing it back to this question, I wouldn't necessarily have the conversation before the trip. I would let the trip exist in this ignorant, blissful bubble, have fun with your friend, and then later on find out all this stuff, why they think that way. And if you're more curious than angry, like understanding the root of her thoughts. Or maybe it's as simple as like, oh, I just don't like Hillary because this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
She doesn't necessarily think that she's like purporting or supporting this specifically racist, sexist human.
Right.
But that's my...
You're saying avoid it altogether on the vacation and then later be like, oh, by the way, I might hate you. Any
thoughts?
Right.
Yeah.
It comes down to the question being, should they do it at the beginning of the trip to get it out of the way or do it at the end
after
of the trip?
Yeah.
I think beginning of the trip trumps end of the trip.
Trumps?
Jake?
He said
I swear
don't
to
take
God,
that
Jake.
Word from me. That second, that distant second cousins, I'm telling you, he's getting his claws in you, Jake.
Holy shit.
Shit, dude, the conversion therapy work.
Pence, gotcha.
I could totally see it either way. I see the value in both strategies.
But what would you do if it were you?
If it were me ooh, I like to think I would have the courage and the strength to be like, I'm pretty upset with you and I want to have a great time, but I want you to know I'm upset because I'm an honest adult, but I probably would never address it.
But then it's
in
like
practice,
the,
I would
like
never
the swing
address
it. Thing. Every single good thing you do on this trip, you had to let you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I still have to have a really hard Drip. Conversation yeah, with them exactly. at the end of the trip. So you get it out of the way first, and then New York's such a great distraction. You guys will forget they had the argument.
All the pizza,
hopefully. Or
I
mean,
I was going to say pizza. Like Lombardi's is a good pizza.
Pizza's a good,
yeah, totally.
Bleecker Street Pizza. You guys can just
soda.
If at any point an awkward moment arises where maybe you started to dip your toe into politics, you can just look at each other and just say pizza.
Lady and the Tramp each other so close. That's the unity right there. Yeah. Billy?
I would have the conversation in advance, but I would know what I was going to say on the phone. I wouldn't dial her without knowing exactly what
script.
I wanted to say. I would just have a plan in mind so that I didn't go off the rails and then I was speaking from an emotional place.
Yeah.
I would want to speak from here's how I feel. You were my best friend before this. You'll still be my best friend after this. But that being said, here's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pass judgment on you because I already have it.
Do you have any really close friends that voted for DJT?
Yeah, my best friend.
Oh, there
my
you best go. Friend.
The same guy who was ripping phone books and whatever we were talking about earlier.
Cars. Moving fiats.
I thought guy was cool until now.
He doesn't. I spoke to him immediately after and I was like, dude, this is why I voted for. And I was like, and he basically grew up in the inner city with nothing but minorities. Like the inner city portion of my town. Like he was literally raised by no parents, Latino neighbors mm-hmm. and all these different people. Mm-hmm. And he works in a union and he doesn't read the news and he just gets this big mass produced, this is what we do in this town. And he just doesn't care enough. And that's not, it bit us in the ass, but he doesn't care enough to really question authority because he has his life in place. And so as his best friend, I'm the one outlet. I'm literally the one
right.
person
right.
who can potentially put a crack in this stone and just be like, hey, listen, you trust me. I know that. So this is why I voted for this person. Just consider these things and let me be a person of political advice maybe next time around. If you have questions, maybe it could be me. And I made inroads on a lot of Long Island hardheads after the election. A lot. A lot. And so it was that actually brought me a lot of calm after the storm, which was okay, this is my personal responsibility.
Yeah.
It's localized and it's small, but I'm a well enough speaker and well respected enough in this community that I've always kind of gone against the grain of what these people do. They'll continue to listen to me in some capacity.
That's you should run good. For office out there, man.
Truly.
I'm 35. I am 35.
You could be president. Being diplomatic without being condescending is a hard line to walk. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Because I have the same impulse as you, Jake, to shame, which is only to shame.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
I want to say to every Trump voter, how dare you?
Right, right. So that's my impulse completely. But
sure.
I also acknowledge the truth that Billy is espousing, which is it's sort of that can tight, that can.
Totally.
Reinforce the divide.
I want Billy on the front lines. I do not want to be out there in the trenches converting people.
Me
I want to be huddled up with my people saying, fuck those guys.
Same.
We need you on our team. We need ride or dies on our team. Make no mistake, Jake.
Yeah, yeah.
We need an army.
Yes.
Responsibility.
Pardon?
What do you think about that nickname?
Responsibility? Kind of came out of left field. I wasn't really prepared for a nickname test.
Or responsibility.
Off the cuff, I hate it. What do you think?
I guess neutral. I guess my answer would be neutral.
Neutral's a great starting point.
Oh, that's just responsibility. People wouldn't like
responsibility.
That.
Responsibility. That's kind of cool. And then we could shorten it eventually to Billy.
To Billy.
It's short for responsibility.
Or Billy T.
Yeah.
Billy T. Williams.
Billy T. Williams.
All right, cool. That was a fun, real way to end this show.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about your podcast really quick in case people want more Billy and Adam. How do they get it?
You go to the HeadGum Network. You subscribe on iTunes. The show is called The No Joke Podcast. It's one topic. We have three acts. They are our past, our current, and our future lives with that topic.
Yep.
And it is as silly as this episode with you guys is. It usually goes right off the rails.
Yep. Sometimes you have a guest. Sometimes we don't.
We've been on the show. I've been on the show.
Both of you individually absolutely have.
Indeed.
Ben Schwartz did a show.
Yep.
Ben Schwartz did a show.
Yep, yep.
We have one of the Try Guys from BuzzFeed on recently, Mamrie Hart and Grace Helbig.
Yep.
We have fun guests.
I listened to the fitness episode, which was really great, too.
Oh,
just to hear you two talk about the completely opposite viewpoints of working out.
A gym, yes.
You guys have.
Yes.
Adam, who's never been in a gym.
Not
and Billy, I don't think you've ever left a gym.
Yeah. I'm actually curling during this podcast.
He's doing. Billy taught me about supersets. Do you know about that?
Yeah, yeah, my brother taught me about them.
Basically doing, instead of rest, you do another set. Yeah, so there is no rest.
Right.
There is no rest. So in between sets, which is when you're supposed to be resting.
Don't do that.
It's yeah. It's just
you're
more.
Doing a harder workout.
Yeah. 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 It's like when you're done with a meal, just continue eating until your next meal. Constantly be nibbling on a saltine until you eat lunch.
Are you eating enough protein right now?
Good question.
I mean, I had that shake today. That's 50 right there.
50 grams of protein. I have Amir and Ben. I'm training them 5 days a week at the gym.
Good.
And they have committed to the system.
I'm 2 weeks straight.
Good. Yeah.
No off days.
5 days a week in the gym, and they're consuming 100 grams of protein per my request every day.
Very good.
Per my request.
Very good.
Billy told me that he eats a box of pasta a day, which I thought was pretty funny.
I know that's true.
So true.
Usually with a couple of chicken breasts.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. This is all true.
A college freshman diet just forever.
Forever.
I mean, Michael Phelps did it, so I'm going to try.
Exactly. Yeah.
10,000 calorie days. Why not?
You're burning it. Yeah. You're definitely burning it.
That's right.
Great. So No Joke Podcast on the HeadGum Network. Yeah. If you have any of your own questions or theme song submissions, the email address for everything, every single thing, is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Opening theme song was written by Jeremy. This closing one is written by David. I want to see if he had anything that he wanted me to say about him. If you guys wanted to talk about more pizza places to get in New York while I look that up.
Mm. Oh, you know what? I really like a hungover pizza pie from Vinny's on Bedford in Brooklyn.
Get their weird shit, like
the tater tot bacon cheese pizza.
Whoa. Tater tot.
Babe, yeah, it's barbecue like chicken cutlet pizza. Yes. So fried chicken so on a pizza. Good.
But I'm still not mad at the dollar pizza. The place that like straight up promotes our like pizza slices bros? Are $1. Yeah. Yeah, two pizza bros or something like that.
Yeah.
Their pizza's like pretty rock solid.
Yes, the entire Alpha and Omega of the New York City pizza culture is that 14th and 1st, there's artichoke pizza on one side, which is like fancy bullshits, like barbecue chicken delicious, $7 a slice.
Right.
Yeah. Right across the street, Pizza Bros, 99 cents.
You know where you find Billy and Adam. We are the Pizza Bros.
And everything.
What was the there's these Coney Island, the hot dog places.
Nathan's. You're thinking of the place that was on 72nd, Grace Papaya?
Yes, what are those?
Grace Papaya.
Grace Papaya is just like a local New York establishment.
Yeah.
And they've, I think like there's only like two or three left now.
They have fries.
There's one on 14th and 2nd.
Yes.
Yes, that was the second one. Yeah, but they would have like the $2 special or the $2.50 special where you get two hot dogs
and
a soda or one of their juices for $2.50. And like any
New
Yorker.
Why are they going out of business?
Yeah.
I know.
Did their rent go up? 14th and 2nd?
Serving $1 hot dogs?
Yeah. We're paying the landlord in hot dogs.
Yeah.
All right. So this closing theme song is written by David Nackman, who's on SoundCloud. David Nackman with a K.
Great.
And two N's at the end.
So, all right.
There you have it.
Cool.
David Nackman. Thanks to David and Jeremy.
David
and
Nackman's got a knack, man.
Nice.
Finish strong, Jake. Finish strong.
Hey, Jake and Amir, thank you for having us on your podcast.
Dudes, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks,
always
thank you
so
very,
fun.
Very much for having us.
We'll be back next week. Later.
David Nackman on the track. Yeah. Jake and Amir got a podcast. Email in your questions and they finna put you on blast. It's just these coy two Jews, or they might have a guest on. Plus, they got a bunch of people doing podcasts for HeadGum worldwide. Yeah, they're coming to Australia, bitch. Cause that's where Jake is sure to get his genitalia licked.
Ms. Hurwitz, please turn down the podcast.
If I were you, if I were you, if I were you, the coyest Jews that you know.
Yes, dude.
They'll help you out your predicament.
Don't
new
die.
Shows every Monday, bitch. We know that you're listening.
Yeah.
That was a HeadGum podcast.